You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode number 45. The last show was all about baseball here in New Orleans. I had a fun time talking baseball with a panel that included Cookie Rojas, the senior vice president over at Baby Cakes Baseball, our AAA team. Also with Tim Grubbs and Ron Swoboda, who do the play-by-play and the color commentary for the Cakes. And Derby Gisclair, who's a local baseball historian here in New Orleans. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it, especially if you love baseball and want to learn about its place in New Orleans, both in the past and in the present. Today's show is geared towards a solo traveler who wants to explore New Orleans, and it was actually suggested by a listener, Mitchell Ledbetter, so thanks, Mitchell. Before we get into the topic, though, I want to take a moment and acknowledge the date and current events. As I put the finishing touches on this episode, it's Tuesday, August 29th, 2017, which makes it the 12th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. This is always a tough day here in New Orleans, but this year we're watching the devastation from Hurricane Harvey unfold in the Houston area. Many people left New Orleans after Katrina and went to Houston. The people in that city welcomed the evacuees, and they did a lot to help New Orleans rebuild. And it's now going to be our turn. We have a lot of listeners to the podcast that live in Houston and the surrounding areas. And for you all, please know that our thoughts and prayers are with you. In the coming weeks, months, years, we'll be right there trying to help you rebuild and become even stronger. It's especially personal for us. My wife and I spent 5 years in Houston. We have plenty of friends there, including my college roommate. So just know that we're thinking about you guys. I even debated skipping the release of this episode, and then a couple hours ago I realized that in the time right after Katrina, the people that were most affected really longed for some normalcy in the midst of, you know, just a complete disruption and chaos brought into their everyday lives. And so after thinking about it, I decided that if this show can be even a tiny part of normalcy for those of you out there, then it's worth doing. With that in mind, let's dive into this week's topic. We're going to walk you through things to do, where to stay, when to visit, and lots more, all through the lens of traveling by yourself. Even if you do travel with others, I think you'll find lots of good information. My guest today is a professional pet sitter who lives in the Ann Arbor area. I first met her through the podcast when she reached out to me for some information about traveling to New Orleans. And knowing that she's an avid fan of solo travel and of New Orleans, I thought she'd be a great guest today to help me with the topic. Her name is Lori Shaw. Hey, Lori, how are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. It's really good to talk to you. For the listeners of the show, Lori was one of the first listeners to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast that reached out to me, actually. And you were coming to New Orleans on a solo travel, on a trip by yourself.
Yes, I was, in fact.
And I think you said, hey, can we catch up? Could we?
Yeah,
could we have lunch or a drink? And we got to do that.
Yeah.
And then when this topic popped up, one of the listeners that also is active on our Facebook group over at Beyond Bourbon Street Crew on Facebook, and I'll put a link in the show notes, Mitchell, he was asking about traveling to New Orleans as a solo traveler. And I thought, gosh, this would be a good opportunity to connect with Lori and to talk about some of those things. So thanks for joining me.
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy to share. New Orleans is a great city, and I'm always looking for an opportunity to go back. And I'd love to share my experience. So it was interesting. When I was thinking back to my first trip, it was kind of on a whim. I only spent a couple of weeks planning. You know, during that time, I was scrambling because I'd obviously never been to New Orleans before. And I was like, what am I doing? And I can't believe I'm thinking about going by myself. So I started doing some research. So I, of course, was on TripAdvisor, which is always really helpful. And I'm a big podcast listener. So I actually stumbled on Beyond Bourbon Street, and I was thrilled because it really gave me a source of information. And it really kind of fleshed out a lot more than what you can get in other places. So in 2 weeks' time, I was able to amass a ton, a wealth of information. And I was really grateful when I reached out to you and asked you for your expertise, and the information was just invaluable.
Well, thank you.
So, yeah, I was happy to build on it, actually, even on my second trip. So,
yeah, so I kind of want to hit some of the things that we talked about back and forth leading up to your trip, and then some of the questions I've gotten over the past year or so from people. So I guess the first thing, when you think about traveling to New Orleans or really anywhere by yourself, one of the things that strikes me is two things, really. The sort of, you know, are there differences in places you might choose because of safety? And then also, I think that there's a certain freedom about traveling by yourself and thinking about when you might come and why you might want to come to a place. So let's maybe first start with the time of year or why you might come to choose New Orleans.
Well, I think it really depends on one's comfort level in traveling. I have to say I'm kind of a late bloomer to traveling at all. And traveling by myself, I'm actually more late than that. But I don't really scrutinize too much in terms of what time of year I go. I'm pretty flexible. I mean, overall, like my first trip to New Orleans was in the middle of July. So what that did for me, it was hot, but I can tell you that I saved quite a bit of money. Airfare was pretty moderately priced. And I was grateful enough to be able to get a direct flight from Detroit to New Orleans. I think it's like a 3 or 4 hour flight.
Right.
Fairly inexpensively. So all the hotels are a lot cheaper at that time of year too, because the weather is so hot and it's not a very popular time of year to go. So that's a consideration for people if cost is an issue. And it was great because I was able to spend more money in other areas as I spent time there. And I think my first trip was 4 days.
Okay.
So I was able to do a lot of stuff and also save a little bit of money. So, you know, there's a lot of events too that people might want to keep in mind if they want to take part.
Exactly. As I was thinking about this topic, I think one, if you get the opportunity to come down and pair it with business, then that's always nice. And often that results in you perhaps traveling solo. The other thing is whether or not you're tied into an event. So you mentioned in late spring, early summer, we have the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, the French Quarter Festival just before that. And so I think one of the one of the really great things about traveling by yourself is you get to do exactly what you want to do. And I think there's an opportunity there. If you're thinking about coming to New Orleans, you can look for an event or a festival or something that interests you. But I also think there's an opportunity to, as you mentioned, if cost is a consideration, it's certainly hot in the summer, but the hotel rates are less expensive. As I think about advising people, if you're coming to New Orleans just for, you've never been here, you just want to explore the city, it's great not to pick a big event. Unless you're really into Mardi Gras or Jazz Fest is your thing, or you've really been excited about it, picking sort of a random weekend is sometimes really neat, because then you can explore the city and all it has to offer without sort of the distraction or the feeling like I got to go do this. Or sometimes, as you mentioned, the hotel rates are a little more expensive when we have a big event in town.
Right. And that is a big consideration.
Yeah. And it fluctuates quite a bit. Obviously, you were asking me before we came on, we're recording this in late August, and it's quite hot and humid here right now. So if you're coming from a cooler climate, that may not be so much fun. I think one of the advantages, again, to being solo is you can really sort of absorb a city. You can wander around and really dig as deep as you want to. Or if you are more a skim the surface and see a million different things, you can do that as well.
Oh, and New Orleans is, either way, it is perfect for that. I was really lucky when on my first trip, like I said, I spent 4 or 5 days. And I kind of dove in. You know, I had some things I wanted to do, but I did what I really wanted to do. And then I kind of checked out other things for my next trips. Because New Orleans is one of those cities where you can come back 5 or 6 times and still not see everything. And it can really get overwhelming.
Yeah, on the recent show, a couple episodes back when we talked about things to do for a first-time visitor to New Orleans, I mentioned that. If you sort of are one of these fear of missing out people, New Orleans is pretty tough. On a first visit or maybe even a second visit, I think it makes sense to kind of make a mental checklist or an actual checklist and sort of say, I'm not going to get to see everything. And just sort of take it in pieces. I do want to sort of circle back, you know, so people kind of decide when they want to come, whether it's for an event or time of year or whatever that might be. and then you start thinking about where to stay. And I find that I certainly recommend to people in general, even if you're not traveling solo, I think there's probably three major groupings. And for me, there's the French Quarter and the Central Business District and the Warehouse District. And I wonder how you might have approached that when you were thinking about your trip coming alone a year and a half ago.
Well, I ended up staying in the Central Business District. I guess I should preface it by saying that I'm the kind of traveler who I love to go travel around and walk around where I'm at, and I want to do things, but I also want to have a place where I not only feel comfortable, but I can just go crash and I can just go relax and get away from all the, you know, the hustle and the bustle, especially in a city. Having a little bit of distance from the French Quarter for me is kind of nice. And I love the Central Business District. There's so much to do there too, if I want to do that. It's a nice way to unwind from being out all day, no matter what I've been up to. I found that being in the Central Business District was really good because I could get to the French Quarter really fast, or I can get to the streetcars.
For people that aren't familiar with the geography, the Central Business District is just a couple blocks upriver, really, when you cross Canal Street coming out of the French Quarter. And so it's a nice, like you mentioned, it's a nice kind of blend. You get out of the noise and the craziness when you want to be, but you're really, really close. And then the next neighborhood over, again, further upriver, really, as you cross Poydras, is the Warehouse District. And I think they both offer kind of a nice compromise. The other thing is, you know, traveling solo, I think in any major city, in New Orleans is no different. There is crime. I don't know that it's any more excessive than in any big city. I think it's one of those things you just got to kind of pay attention and be aware of your surroundings. Maybe a little bit more so when you're a solo traveler. And to me, one of the ways that translates is if you're in the French Quarter, you know, and you're going to walk back to your hotel, well, if you're by yourself, that might be, you know, you might be a little bit more susceptible to someone paying attention to that. Whereas if you're even a few blocks out, you might take an Uber or a Lyft. Or if you are walking, it just, to me, gives it a little bit different sense and a little bit more remove, if you will.
That is a consideration, and getting back and forth too. So
I also think, you know, when you're staying in the Central Business District, the Warehouse District, they both offer several different sort of price points as well as sizes of hotels. You know, I think when you and I had spoken previously, you had selected at least one of the times sort of a smaller hotel, which gave it a bit more of an intimate feel.
Yeah, and I really liked that, and because it was so close. And I was close to the other restaurants that I like to be, you know, in close proximity to Mother's. And like you said, you can get to the French Quarter so fast. It's a really great area.
I also think so, you know, in no particular order, kind of in the Central Business District, there's the Queen and Crescent Hotel. There's a small, I think, 35-room hotel called the Catahoula, which has a great bar. In fact, if you're a longtime listener of the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast, you've heard me interview a couple guests there, including most recently Jonathan Ray on the episode that was all about movies in New Orleans. Just across the street from the Catahoula is a new hotel, an upscale hotel called the Nopsey Hotel. Nopsey refers to the public service, the old energy company, basically, and they just redesigned that building and reopened it as a luxury hotel. So you have that there. And then as you get into between the sort of the CBD and then the Warehouse District, if you like history and sort of a more traditional feel, you have the Le Pavillon, which is a great older hotel. And then one of my favorites in the Warehouse District, or actually two, is the Old 77 and then the Renaissance Arts. And so those are all smaller hotels. Depending on the time of year, you can find good rates. They have a nice feel to them. And then, as you mentioned, you're right, you're close to the quarter, and you're also close to lots of restaurants and the streetcars as well. I think one of the other, back in episode 25, we had done an episode with the two women who are the co-founders of Girls Guide New Orleans, Kelly and Mignon. And one of the things they had talked about is when you're staying in a small hotel, sometimes you can get to know the front staff, you know, and you can sort of, that way they get to know you and they're kind of looking out for you. And I think if you're a little bit nervous about being alone and traveling alone, that can sometimes be a good thing to establish a relationship with the folks, you know, in the front there.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I was thinking about, that when you're by yourself, like you said, there's a lot of freedom to do what you want. And New Orleans is one of those cities where people really take good care of you. So let them do it. Let them make suggestions to you. You know, people in New Orleans, they love to talk. They love to tell stories. They love to share what the city is about. And they want you to have a good time. So You know, that's what I suggest too, is, you know, take the hospitality that you're extended and, you know, let people know what you want to do. They can make some great suggestions. They, you know, are happy to help you out with anything that you want to do. They can always let you know what the great happy hours are if you're into that. That's one of the things that I will say, that they're super helpful. Even in the restaurants, people are super happy to give you suggestions on stuff, or even, you know, any of the activities that you want to do.
Sure. And I think you just hit on it. And in the Facebook group, when Mitchell asked the question, I was reminded of that we're pretty friendly people here in New Orleans. And so if you're traveling solo and you sort of like to be by yourself, there's certainly no problem with that. But if you're traveling solo and a little bit self-conscious or wondering, you know, I do want some interaction with people and I do want to get a local feel. Well, one, by all means, you should listen to Beyond Bourbon Street, right? That's the purpose of the podcast. But also, you will find that we are more than willing, generally speaking, to strike up a conversation or to help out. And people in New Orleans are very used to being asked, hey, where should I go get a drink? Or where should I get a po' boy? Or this kind of food? Or what should I see? And I think you're right. You should take advantage of that. A smaller hotel, often, I think you'll get to know people and they'll get to know you, and that makes it helpful too. But one of the tips I was going to talk about is one of the advantages to traveling by yourself, again, is to be able to do exactly what you want. And one of my tips is to go to a bar, go to a local bar, or when you go out to eat, look for places, and we'll talk about that in a minute, places that have bars in them. That's often, I know when I travel by myself, eating at the bar is a great way to strike up a conversation, and also to kind of get some, you know, get some insider scoop about the city. And also not feel so isolated if you're a little self-conscious about that.
It really is. And I will often tell people, you know, when you enter a bar or a restaurant, New Orleans is one of those cities I find where, you know, they'll ask you what you really want to do. Do you want to sit at the bar or do you want a table? A lot of cities will just assume, oh, why don't you just sit at the bar because you're by yourself.
Right.
But sometimes I do recommend sit at the bar. You're going to be able to talk to more people. It does give you the opportunity to open up more conversations with people. And even you'll find that there are people who've traveled to New Orleans quite a bit who are sitting right there and are happy to extend some tips for you and places to go. And that's a great wealth of information too, because they have an entirely different viewpoint and vantage point of the city.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that was the reason I asked you to be on the show. I certainly have a lot of ideas for people traveling solo, but I knew you had the experience of coming here. And we talked about some of that when we first met. I think, you know, we were talking about the Central Business District, and the place where you and I actually met was a John Besh restaurant called Luke. And it's a sort of a, you know, it's a French bistro. And that's a great place actually to go by yourself. There are lots of small tables. You could easily sit and kind of commune with other people, or you could get a table by yourself and have no problem and feel perfectly comfortable there.
Right. It's a very cozy place to eat. So I think most people would be quite comfortable even getting a table.
Right. I had, I will ask you for a couple of ideas that you have, but as I was putting this together, I was thinking about Mr. B's Bistro in the French Quarter is one of my favorites. And if you've listened to the podcast for any length of time, you know that that's where I would have my last meal if I knew that I was going to have a last meal. I would have it there. I'd have a gumbo yaya, which is chicken and andouille gumbo with some barbecue shrimp and a ton of French bread. But that's a place that both I've sat at a table by myself there, and I've eaten at the bar. One of the best restaurants in the city that somehow people don't talk about enough is the Pelican Club on Exchange Alley in the heart of the quarter. And really, even if you're with someone, in my opinion, the best way to enjoy that place is in the bar. They have some small tables and then the bar itself. And those are really good places where you can have a really nice meal and feel perfectly comfortable. How about you? Are there a couple places that you remember from your trip that you just really enjoyed?
Yeah. So I have to say that I'm very partial to Compère Lapin. They are incredibly welcoming there. Whether you sit at the bar or you get a table, you are going to be treated just exquisitely, but you're not going to be hovered over. I remember I had gone in and sat at a table on one of my visits and was reading a book, and they were more than happy to just let me be and enjoy myself. And, you know, they were attentive, but not overbearing. And the food there is wonderful. They have a terrific wine list, and the bar itself is always a lot of fun too. Lots of conversation going on there, and a lot of locals go there too.
Right. So Compare Le Pen, we talked in an earlier episode last summer, I think, we interviewed Abigail Gullo, who's the bar chef there. And Compare Le Pen is in the Old 77 Hotel in the heart of the Warehouse District. Well, the concept at Compare Le Pen was to build the restaurant around the bar, with the bar literally in the middle, and also figuratively as the centerpiece, building the food and the menus out around the freshness of the drinks and the sort of philosophy of how they were trying to do that. The chef there is Nina Compton, who a lot of people know from I think it was either Chopped or Top Chef. But the food is fabulous. The drinks are incredible. And you're right. It is one of those places. In fact, it's a place that I meet people a lot to go have a drink or a light, say an appetizer, an hors d'oeuvre. But it does have that feel where you can at once be alone or choose to be in a big group and feel perfectly comfortable there.
Most definitely. I was going to suggest, too, if someone's feeling a little bit uncomfortable and they just want something very low-key, St. James Cheese Company is a really great place to go. It's very low-key, and I think they are open until at least 7 p.m. So you can get a really light dinner. You can get a nice lunch there, a glass of wine or whatever. And it's fairly affordable, too, which is a nice thing. And that's easy to get to from all the hotels in the Central Business District, too.
Yeah, that place, St. James Cheese Company, is a really great place for lunch. It's on Chapatoulas, which we had an episode way back about the language of New Orleans. So that's the word that starts with a T that you won't be able to figure out if you come to New Orleans as a visitor. But that's there in the Warehouse District, again, very close to where Compare Le Pen is in the Old 77. They actually have two locations. They have another one uptown on Britannia. So if you take the streetcar, and we'll talk about uptown in a bit, but you're right, a really approachable place. You can get a nice glass of wine or champagne with lunch. You can get everything from salads and cheese, as you would guess with the name St. James Cheese Company. But they also have great New Orleans dishes as well. One of the things that the podcast does is I end up exploring a lot to try to bring new content to the listeners. And I find that often that means I'm out alone or you know, going to meet someone and spending some time alone waiting to do that. And I think, you know, we mentioned a couple of the sort of higher end places. But just like I recommend for anyone, a place like the Gumbo Shop is a great place. You can get a small table and sit by yourself. And at the same time, it's not a big deal to sort of start talking to the neighbor there, or talk to your waiter or waitress there. I think po' boy places are a good place. Sometimes we recommend Parkway Bakery and Tavern out on Bayou St. John in Mid-City. And a great tip there is you can sit at the bar. And the bar is one of the best places to be there. Even people that aren't together are talking and talking across tables. And it's a fun way to sort of immerse yourself among locals and some visitors alike. Was that your experience when you came as well?
Yes. In fact, for me, there's nothing better than a really good sandwich. I don't eat terribly light when I'm traveling, but I don't want to always have a nice sit-down dinner. Sometimes I'm really too busy exploring and stuff like that. So one of the places that I was going to suggest, I know that you've talked about this quite a bit, is Central Grocery. And that's a great place to go to get just a great muffaletta and just get takeout and just go do what you want to do. And I remember, I think on my first trip, I had gone there, hopped on the streetcar, went back to my hotel. It was a long day for me. And I think I ended up getting like a half or a quarter muffaletta, and I took it back to my hotel, and I got a glass of wine on the way up to my room and sat there at my desk and ate the sandwich, and it was incredibly satisfying, but it was a nice way to just unwind and be alone for a little bit so I could kind of regroup and then go back out and do some more fun stuff, because it's really easy to get overwhelmed. Especially if you've never been to New Orleans before. So always say sometimes those takeouts and, you know, po' boy and sandwich shops are a great alternative if you're into that.
Sure, definitely. And Central Grocery, which is a little Italian grocery store on Decatur in the French Quarter, just a bit downriver, so downriver towards Esplanade of Jackson Square, just a block or two. They really only have a couple stools, so it's not really even meant for a place to sit down, but you can get a muffaletta. And as you mentioned, you can get, I think, a half or a whole, or maybe even a quarter. A whole would, like, feed a family of four, basically. But that's a great sort of take it and go, whether it's going back to your room to relax or it's going in Jackson Square and kind of soaking up the sights and the sounds. I like to grab a muffaletta and go out to the river. But you're right. If you're wandering the city, it's also not a bad, particularly if you got like a backpack or a bag, to get a sandwich and have them wrap it up well. And then you got a New Orleans dish to eat whenever you're ready to have it. And that kind of gets
That's me, right, too.
New Orleans has such a, to me, both an audio track to it as well as the visual. And so what I would really encourage you to do, I'd encourage anyone to do, but when you're traveling solo, think about your day. And one of the things, one of the ways I would tell you to start that is to wander the French Quarter relatively early, if you're an early bird. And by the early, I mean 7:30, 8 o'clock. One, it's sort of the cleanest part of the day in the city, in the French Quarter, as they're literally cleaning up. But you can really absorb the fact that it's that's a neighborhood, a vibrant neighborhood. And so if you do that and you're by yourself, I think you just have the time to do that and to hear the sounds of the calliope on the steamboat Natchez out on the river, to see people just wandering and doing all the things you do in a neighborhood, you know, go and get a cup of coffee and reading the paper or reading a book. You'll see people out walking their dogs. And it's a great chance to kind of absorb the architecture too, and just sort of, you know, let the French Quarter envelop you without kind of the hustle and bustle and the neon that sort of bombards your senses at nighttime. And I think that's just a, you know, it's a great way to start your day or start your experience in New Orleans. If you follow the podcast, you know that, I think you know that we have a companion site over at Instagram. It's Beyond Bourbon ST. And what I usually do there is show you through my lens, literally camera lens, the architecture of the city. And some of my favorite times to go get images of the French Quarter is that time early in the morning when you can just take your time and kind of explore and notice, you know, all the details and all the richness of nearly 300 years. And I know that when you were here, you did a lot of walking and a lot of kind of exploring along those lines, right?
I did. And I did just that. First thing in the morning, I headed out to the French Quarter. And for those very reasons, it's the quietest time of day. It's the cleanest time of day. And, you know, you can, there's no hustle and bustle. And one of the things I love to do when I'm in a city is in that time of day, you can hear all of the busyness going on, getting ready for the day. Mm-hmm. And you can see all the, you know, all the locals just doing their business, getting things done. And it's just, it's a really different perspective. And it's a great time to do some photography too, if you're really into that kind of thing. Let's, like you said, I go get myself a cup of coffee and just walk around with my camera and just kind of absorb everything and kind of, you just kind of get unwound that way from the night.
And I think if you're traveling by yourself and you're wandering the French Quarter, there's some great exhibits. You've heard me talk about them before, but particularly at the Presbytère, which is right, you have the Cabildo and the Presbytère on either side of St. Louis Cathedral and Jackson Square. And I think you can wander through the Presbytère in particular. There are two exhibits there that I really enjoy. One is a permanent exhibit about Mardi Gras, which is great. And the other is an exhibit about Katrina. And as we record this, we're just about on the 12th anniversary of Katrina. And, you know, they're two very different, they both tend to hit your senses and your emotions in very different ways, of course. Sometimes I have people say that it's kind of a lot, the sort of haughtiness and energy and enthusiasm and kind of smiles that the Mardi Gras exhibit evokes, and then the somberness and sort of the scope when you see the Katrina exhibit and you start to understand how many people and how wide an area it impacted. But I think those two things are a great thing to do on your own when you can just kind of wander at your own pace. You can go to, I've done a couple of shows with people from the Historic New Orleans Collection. They always have a great exhibit or two. They're free that you can go wander in there just a couple blocks from Jackson Square. And those are things that I love doing at my own pace, right? And I think that's one of the things that's really a lot of fun about wandering the city on your own.
Oh, definitely. And I think a great place to start, I think, is Jackson Square.
Yeah.
Maybe on a first day, because you can hit the Presbytère, you can hit the Cathedral, the Cabildo. And, you know, it's, you could spend quite a bit of time there. And a lot of that stuff is weather dependent, too. So if it's a rainy day, I know that, I think they're closed on Mondays, if I'm not mistaken. So if it's a rainy day, you could kind of pick that day to hit the museums and stuff. And there's so much stuff to see. And it's like you said, when you go into the Presbytère, you can see the Mardi Gras exhibit, which I think I spent at least an hour just browsing and the history of Mardi Gras and everything. It was fascinating to me. And I was really, that led me to really want to know more about the the Mardi Gras Indians and stuff like that. And I know that you've done a segment on that. It was kind of like the stream of consciousness kind of thing when I was there. And I got so much more interested in Mardi Gras. And, you know, that's one of the things I want to do when I come back. I want to plan a trip just for Mardi Gras. So as you're going and doing all these activities, it really kind of gets you thinking about my next trip. What do I want to do?
And you're right. I think that exhibit, particularly in the Presbyter, it does a good job of, at once, it kind of takes you in fairly deep. So you can learn about the history of Mardi Gras. You can see a Mardi Gras float. You can see the costumes. But it's also not so imposing an exhibit. Again, an hour, 90 minutes is plenty to dig into. You mentioned Mardi Gras Indians. You're right. We did an episode back. It was episode 13, which was all about the Mardi Gras Indians and the history and the culture. Not too far away from the French Quarter, behind the French Quarter, in what's called Bacatown, is the Treme. And there's a Backstreet Cultural Museum there with a great, it's a small museum. It's basically in what was a small mortuary, actually, at one time. But it's easily a half hour, 45-minute visit. You can get a great taste of it. But that's the thing I like about that exhibit at the Presbyter. It sort of gives you a good base, and then you can decide if you want to dig in more. Maybe it whets your appetite to come back. But you made a great point about Jackson Square. You can easily spend half a day, maybe even a little bit more, and really not get much beyond Jackson Square, soaking up the sounds, the street musicians, the artists, the tarot card readers, the museums there, St. Louis Cathedral itself.
Yeah, it is really something.
Yeah, and traveling solo, it's perfect there. You're going to blend right in. It's not going to be any big deal. You can talk to people, or you can just absorb it by yourself if you want.
Oh, yeah. And I recommend hitting Dutch Alley, too. Dutch Alley is a really interesting place to hit. It's a art co-op. And, you know, you can definitely find some really neat things to take home from your trip, like I do.
Most people are familiar with the green and white awnings of Café du Mans. And right behind there is Dutch Alley. And as you mentioned, there are some sort of inlets off of that to get into some nice little shops. And it leads you down towards the French Market and ultimately down to the old U.S. Mint, which has it's part of the Louisiana State Museum. The other thing I like about that Dutch Alley, one, it's usually shady, so that's nice. But there's also some pretty great photo ops. There's some really cool art installations back there.
Yes, I think I have a few pictures myself from that area. It's a great place just to take a little break.
As you walk those couple blocks, there's often music back there, live music, either street musicians, or there's a couple little bitty places. There's a praline shop or two, so you can get a little treat. And then you can wander back through the French Market. And there's all sorts of things for purchase back there, whether it's souvenirs or food or market type things. And then again, you get to the old U.S. Mint, which has, that mint is, again, part of Louisiana State Museum. You can see exhibits about the actual function of the mint when it was a mint. But also its focus today is on the history of jazz. And they have, almost every day of the week, they have free live jazz music performances there.
Oh, yeah. It was a really great place to go. If you're into music, and even if you're not, it's a great, it detail a lot of New Orleans history from that viewpoint, which is another important thing. You know, music is just, it's a really big part of the culture in New Orleans. And I was going to say the old U.S. Mint, that area can lead you into the Bywater area, which is also a really
right.
fun place to go.
Right. So the old U.S. Mint is on the downriver side of the French Quarter. It backs up against Esplanade Avenue. And as you cross Esplanade, you enter the Marigny. And then the next neighborhood behind the Marigny, further downriver, is the Bywater. And so as you wander through those two neighborhoods, there's a bunch of things there. The architecture is really interesting and detailed. It's got a kind of a really neat mix of, you see a lot of Caribbean influence. You see some of the Spanish and French influences that you see in the French Quarter. And yet it seems to change as you go downriver there. Lots of little streets to kind of wander in. Lots of places to eat. In the Marigny is Frenchman Street with plenty of live jazz music clubs. And as you get into the Bywater, one of my favorite places to kind of waste away an afternoon is called Bacchanal. I don't know if you made it there when you were here.
I didn't make it there. No, I didn't go there. That's on my list for next time. I actually, in that area, I went to Dr. Bob Art. I actually walked all the way down there. Yeah, it was just a really interesting walk. I walked all the way down Charter Street and actually picked up a couple of pieces from there. And one of the places that I hit on the way back, because I was hot and tired and I was very thirsty, I went to New Feelings Marini Cafe, which was a great little place to go for a light bite midday. Not very expensive at all. It was a really great area.
And you mentioned Dr. Bob. He's a local artist. If you've been to New Orleans before, you've and seen the Be Nicer Leave signs, those are his. And there's a lot with that kind of similar. It's hard to describe. Maybe I'll put a link to his site over in the show notes at beyondbourbonst.com. But it's got a very distinctive, when you see the sort of patterns, even from a distance, you know that it's his work. And as you wander down there, I mentioned Bacchanal. As the name implies, they have a heavy focus on wine. But it's a great place. They have live music every day, usually starting at 1 or 2 in the afternoon. So particularly if you come and the weather's nice, most of their seating is outside. But you can enjoy kind of a light platter, a light, you know, light set of food if you want, and a glass of wine, and enjoy live music basically all the time. That is one area that I would say, particularly whether you're traveling alone or you're not, it's great. You do want to sort of be a little bit careful, particularly as it gets late. And I would say that about any big city, but you know, wandering, you know, that could be a good bit afield from where you're staying. And you just need to be aware of your surroundings. Certainly nothing wrong with it, but perfect for a midday kind of walk and stroll and ending up back there. And of course, not far if you're going to take an Uber or a Lyft back to where you're staying as well.
Most definitely. And that, like you said, I would be really careful going on your way back to where you're staying.
You know, being in those areas during the daytime, again, I'm a photography buff, as you've seen. It's just so neat to kind of explore and take your time and just look at the details. And, you know, it's easy to find a place to stop and get something to eat or drink. And we were talking about music. And one of the questions that Mitchell had on the Facebook page was, you know, I want to go out and hear music, but I'm not always sure where to go and being by myself. And certainly, again, I mentioned Bacchanal, I think, is a good place. The old U.S. Mint is a great place. As you're crossing Esplanade, and if you were to head down Esplanade away from the river just a few blocks, you come up to a place right near Rampart called Bufa's Lounge. It has a great menu that's real casual, got a little bit of an Italian influence to it, but they have a great live music schedule. And they actually have, they have kind of some communal tables there, but they also have some tables that only hold two people. So that's really great if you do want to sit alone. You can be very, very close to the stage, although it's a small room, you're never far from the stage. And then, of course, Preservation Hall and seeing the traditional New Orleans jazz musicians, I think, is a perfect place to go by yourself and yet be in a room full of people and really enjoy, you know, just traditional jazz and traditional New Orleans music. Were there other places that you went specifically to look for music while you were here?
No, I was going to say Bufa's is a really great place to go. And they serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner, if I'm not mistaken, too. So obviously music is probably going to come later in the day, but yeah, right, that's a great place to go if you're by yourself because of the seating situation and the comfort level in there. But
two other places I really like, really for anyone, but one of them is the Columns Hotel. So the Columns Hotel is out along St. Charles Avenue upriver from the French Quarter, and you can take the St. Charles streetcar, the green streetcar, and the Columns Hotel will be a couple miles out on your right. Beautiful old hotel. It was actually where Brooke Shields, where the movie Pretty Baby was filmed in the 1970s, and I'm dating myself now, but a very young Brooke Shields. But they have live music several nights a week, and they have a great schedule, usually singer-songwriter types. It's a really nice place to have a good drink. You can have lunch or dinner there and just get to enjoy the music. You know, there's plenty of places to sit. Another place I really like as a local is a place called Chickawawa, which is on Canal Street, outside the French Quarter a little bit, outside the business district, but a real easy Uber or Lyft ride, where actually the Red Line, the Canal Street streetcar line, goes right in front of it. And again, that's a place, fairly small venue. It's a place you can find me a lot of evenings when the music's good and I have the time, but a place where you'd certainly feel comfortable, again, either blending in or being by yourself, sitting at the bar or sitting at a small table. I think one of the places that you can sort of get a great listing, and I'll put a note over on the webpage, is Offbeat Magazine. It's a great resource for music in the city and a good place where you can get listings of what's happening in the city from a music perspective. But again, that's five or six places. If you want a really upscale place, You can go see Jeremy Davenport at the Ritz-Carlton in the lounge up on the top there. What other things did you really focus on when you were here and tried to get out and take advantage of and see as you were exploring, Lori?
One of the things I wanted to do on my second trip, like I said earlier, my first trip, I just kind of dove in and I tried to get a feel for what was going on. My second trip, I decided to just explore Magazine Street. And that proved to be a really nice strategy because I was more familiar with New Orleans and I felt more comfortable with the streetcar situation and I had my jazzy pass and everything. So it was really easy to kind of navigate around. So I hopped on the St. Charles streetcar and then I just, I think I got off at Jackson Street and hopped over
Jackson
to
Avenue.
District Donuts and had a cup of coffee and a bite to eat and just got moving. And, you know, you can also, you know, take a ride share in that area too to get you started. So one of the places I was going to suggest is NOLA Mix Records. That's if you're really into music and feel like vinyl, that's a place to go. That has a, I don't think they've been open for very long as a record store. I think maybe a year and a half, 2 years. Zale NOLA, is that how you pronounce it? It's a art co-op on Magazine Street.
Yes, I think that's right.
It was a really, really neat place to go. And I actually got some really nice pieces there. And they were kind enough to ship them back for me, which is a really nice thing, especially if you're traveling by yourself. You don't want to be carrying all the stuff that you've purchased back with you. Or if you're traveling light like I do, that's something to keep in mind. And there's also, there's a pack and ship place on Canal Street that you can actually ship things yourself to go back home if you're buying stuff too. So that's an option. It's not very expensive, but you know, there's tons of galleries on Magazine Street. And there's, I went to Magazine Po' Boys, which was, probably a midway point for me. So that was a nice way to just kind of unwind a little bit, take a break from the heat and get a bite to eat. There's tons of galleries if you're into art and things like that. I think there's a new place that I want to hit when I go back there. It's called Bootsy's Pop City. I think that would be fun, especially if you've got kids. That might be something to think about. You can take some gifts home, but it seems like a really fun place. And one of the things I was going to say, a really popular restaurant in New Orleans, Giacomo's, is it might seem difficult to approach because of where it's located, but I certainly had no problem getting there. I was in the magazine. I was on Magazine Street already. So I just headed over there and I was treated as warmly as I was any place else at Giacomo's and had a wonderful meal. I don't think most people would think going there by yourself would be that comfortable, but I was certainly fine with that.
So that's interesting. And we'll circle back to Magazine Street, but Giacomo's is over in the Riverbend area on Oak Street. Mm-hmm. And so if you take the green streetcar, the St. Charles streetcar, all the way down to where St. Charles bends, literally, right, because of the river, onto Carrollton Avenue, just a few more blocks, you hit Oak. And that's a nice walk you hop off, and it's about a five-block walk to Giacomo's. Giacomo's is one of my favorite. It's a place I would take you if you were coming in town, we were going to go have dinner, and you said, hey, take me to a real kind of local place. It's a little bit divey, but the food is much better than it might appear when you get out and look at the place. I often think of it as a place that you go with a bunch of people and sort of have a good raucous evening. But you are right. They're very friendly, and there's something about the vibe of the place that everybody is sort of having a communally good time there.
Yeah, and they're very accommodating with small tables.
Right. That's true, too. There are small tables, so if you're by yourself, you're certainly not going to stick out in any way. And they have a relatively small bar. You can certainly have a ton of interaction if you want to do that there. And you mentioned Magazine Street. I agree with you. I think that's such a great place to explore, and there's so many different things. Everything from if you just want a nice walk with lots of things to look at to being able to wander in and out of the shops like you talked about. There are places to eat and drink all up and down Magazine. Joey K's is a great place, sort of closer to the Garden District end. You mentioned District Donuts right off Jackson Avenue on Magazine, and right next to that is Stein's Deli, which is a great place to go for lunch. And you can kind of do as much shopping or as little shopping as you want. And if you're looking for a great walk, you can just keep walking down Magazine as far as you want. And then whenever you're done, you cut to your right just a few blocks and head up to St. Charles and catch a streetcar back. So there's a lot, you know, you could spend a day or you could spend an hour or two on Magazine Street. Mm-hmm.
And it's got something for everyone. And I think, it's like you said, it's so close to the St. Charles streetcar that you can just, walk over a couple blocks and head back or head up or whichever direction you want to go.
Yeah, and again, then, depending on where you start, like you started on Jackson Avenue, you're in the heart of the Garden District and the Lower Garden District there, and you can wander around and see the mansions and the detailed architecture there. And as you were talking, that got me thinking about another way to really enjoy New Orleans, I think, as a solo traveler or anybody really, is to take a tour. You've certainly heard me talk about one of my favorite tour companies, Two Chicks Walking Tours. And in fact, we did a whole episode about the Garden District with Christine Miller, who's the head chick in charge there at Two Chicks. And another one that I like in the French Quarter is called Drink and Learn with Elizabeth Pierce. And so that's a way to as the name implies, kind of check out the history of the French Quarter in New Orleans through the lens of some of the drinks that we're known for. So the episode with Christine was back in episode 17, Tales from the New Orleans Garden District. But those two tours, either or both of them, would give you a great opportunity to explore through the eyes of a local in the sense of those tour guides, but also get to be with someone if you want to be with a group and not, you can sort of have as much or as little interaction as you want, but would give you great sort of insider feel to the city. I don't know, did you get to do any tours when you were here?
Yeah, I did a garden district tour and used Two Chicks and had a great time. I think headed out from the hotel at about 8:30 after breakfast so I could be on time for the tour, which started, I think it started either at 9:30, they said, and I think they were done probably by 1 or 2. So it wasn't terribly long, but it was long enough to get to see a lot of the different areas in the Garden District. And then we also toured one of the cemeteries, which is a nice bonus for that too, if you're really into that kind of thing. It's a really inexpensive way to get to know the city.
Yeah, I think that, you have Lafayette Cemetery right there. You could plan an entire day taking a tour of the Garden District. You get a little bit of the taste of the cemeteries and the way that we bury people here above ground. They're at Lafayette Cemetery. That's right across the street from Commander's Palace. So if you wanted a really nice lunch, you could go to Commander's for lunch and get 25-cent martinis. If you didn't want to do that, you could finish the tour and then head down Magazine Street since you'd already be right there and wander, wander as much as you wanted and again have the option to then see the city taking a streetcar and relaxing on your way back to wherever you've stayed. Were there any other tips or things that, as you think about your time coming to New Orleans or traveling solo in general, Lori, that you think might be helpful for people as they plan or think about making a trip on their own?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on one of the things that you said is like plan ahead, but don't overwhelm yourself with trying to do too much. When you're in a city like New Orleans, there's a ton of stuff to do. I've been there twice and I have a ton of stuff I still want to do. I want to go to Algiers Point. I want to hit the City Park area. I want to do a kayak excursion, which is another option that you can do. And a lot of people don't think about stuff like that. I want to come one time for Mardi Gras, and there's, of course, the different ones that you can go to. You can go to Orpheus, you can go to Bacchus. And one of the ones I want to do is Barkus. Which sounds like a lot of fun. I've made some friends down there and they're like, yes, this is what you want to do. I want to go to Mardi Gras World. That's another place that I think would be really interesting. Might be a bit of a lengthy day for that, so I would probably set aside at least half a day. But like you said, I'd like to hit like the Backstreet Cultural Museum and the House of Dance and Feathers, and I'd love to come for Revillon and that time of year around Christmas. And I mean, yeah, just don't overwhelm yourself with stuff. And maybe you could plot out different trips for New Orleans in different times of year. Every time you go, you're going to discover new stuff and you're going to be surprised. You're going to see your firsts, whether it's a parade or if it's a second line or anything like that. You're going to be totally surprised every time. And New Orleans is the kind of city, it's very different than what you think. When I tell people I have gone there, I think a
How
lot of
so?
people
How do you
have
think that?
that idea. It's all about Bourbon Street and partying, and it's like, no, there's so much more to it than that. And they cannot believe it. And when they go, they're like, oh, I get it now. I totally get it. So it's a great place to travel by yourself.
It's almost like they should create a podcast about Beyond Bourbon Street.
Exactly. And I I tell people, listen to the podcast. You get to know a lot about the different areas. It's things that you would find incredibly surprising. History, if you're a history buff, this is definitely a place that you want to go.
Yeah, whether it's history or food or music or any of those things, right? You mentioned Algiers Point, and that's a great, you can take the $2 ferry ride across. Even if you just took the ferry ride to get the views of the city and the breezes on the river and the traffic and the noise and the calliope and all that stuff, even if you just took it across, hopped off, paid $2 and came back, it would be worth it. But that's the second oldest neighborhood in New Orleans over in Algiers Point. And that's a wonderful place to explore. And we didn't even hardly talk about City Park, but you're right. You could spend anywhere from a couple hours to a whole day there, whether it's exercising or wandering the old grove of oak trees, some of which are more than 800 years old. That's a great place to get beignets at the morning call there. The New Orleans Museum of Art is in the park. The Sculpture Garden, which is one of my favorite places in the park, and free to wander in and out and just see some incredible sculptures nestled among the trees there. You mentioned Mardi Gras World. We're actually going to do an upcoming show about Halloween, and one of the things we're going to talk about is the Crew of Boo, which is a Mardi Gras-style parade held right around Halloween and has strong ties, as you'll learn about when we do that episode, to Mardi Gras World and to the family of float builders that's responsible for many of the floats that you see at Mardi Gras. But you're right. I think that no matter your interest, there's so much to do and so much that's accessible and easy to do on your own. And I think, you know, as I thought about this episode and then talking to you today, Lori, it's really that. It's about one of the freedoms that being on your own gives you is this idea to kind of stop and think about what interests you. And you're really able to tailor. You'll find plenty of things for your interest here in New Orleans that you can really tailor to that. I also think, to your point, it's good to have a little bit of a plan because it can get overwhelming. And you don't want to get here and sort of just spend your energy feeling like I got to run everywhere and see everything. And that's one of the things we try to do with the podcast, is to help you explore through the lens of locals like myself and others, or people that have been here like you, and really kind of break it down so that you can work on a plan and kind of have an idea of, gosh, that sounds really interesting to me, or that's not really something I am interested in, and kind of have some rough bumpers, if you will, about things you want to see and do, eat and drink, and experience when you're here in the city.
Always have a plan B when you're in New Orleans. There's always something to do. If something's closed, or if you're just too far away from something and you don't want to go all the way across town, there's always something there that you can do or see. And the Pharmacy Museum is another really fun place to go. I think it's not only a great place to learn about the history of medical stuff in that period of time, but the architecture. I mean, you can actually see how people lived, because there was the living quarters,
right,
upstairs,
sure,
on the, you know, I think it's the second floor. I don't think you can get to the third floor, but you can see the courtyard and you can see out on Charter Street. And yeah, you get a really get a good feel for what living, especially back in that period of time, was like, which is, I think, is an important thing.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that really comes through when you go in some of those small places, particularly in the French Quarter, is that you absorb, you can really sort of soak it up and kind of imagine what it would have been like to live or be a part of society there, you know, 100, 200, 250 years ago, as we approach the 300-year anniversary of New Orleans. When you mentioned that, it made me think of one last thing that I think is a great thing to do, and that's cooking classes. So you can go to a cooking demonstration. Recently, we did an episode at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, which is in Central City on Martin Luther King Boulevard and Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard. They have cooking demonstrations and classes, but lots of places in the French Quarter also offer those. And in fact, I'm going to be checking out one real soon. I think it's called New Orleans Cooks or Crescent City Cooks, to go take a look at that. But that'd be a fun way to immerse yourself, to really get to spend a couple hours and get to know the cuisine on kind of a different level and get to interact with people.
Mm-hmm. I think it would even be a great idea, too, if you're traveling with somebody else, just to take a break from them and let them go off and do their own thing and do a cooking class. It would give you some time to kind of do something constructive and interactive with the city, too, when you're making the, you know, dishes that are regional and talking to people who are also wanting to do that same kind of thing. I think the experiences that you can have in New Orleans are limitless. It's very accessible. It's affordable. It's easy to get to from so many locales around the country. And I think it makes it the perfect place to go.
Yeah, well, I certainly agree as a local and as someone that just immerses myself in it. And Lori, I just appreciate so much you taking the time to share your experiences as a solo traveler and also, you know, your love of New Orleans. So thank you for doing that today.
Oh, my pleasure. Always happy to share.
We will we'll put some information about the places we talked about over in the show notes, which will be at beyondbourbonst.com/45. And some of the links to, again, the places. And, you know, one of the things that as we were talking, we're focused obviously on solo travel, but your point just now about being able to, you know, come to New Orleans with others and still want to do something on your own. There's enough for diverse interests that you can spend time together and spend time apart. And so I hope that people that maybe aren't traveling alone have picked up a lot of ideas as well. I'll also put a link. You were gracious enough to share your email address, and I'll put that over in the link too in case anybody wants to kind of pick your brain a little bit about your experiences in planning a trip to New Orleans as a solo traveler. So thanks again.
Oh, terrific. No problem.
All right, y'all. A special thanks to Lori for coming on the show. This is the first time I've interviewed someone who wasn't in the same room with me, so Lori was a real trooper as I worked through some technical issues. I definitely think it was worth it, though, to get her perspective as a visitor to New Orleans, and I hope you find a lot of helpful tips there on the show. You can find the notes for today's episode over at beyondbourbonst.com/45. If you want to hear more shows like this one, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have an idea for a future episode, or you just want to reach out to me, my email is mark@beyondbourbonst.com. New episodes are available every other Wednesday, and if you're enjoying the show, please share with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you and me. Before we go, again, a special word to the people in the Houston area to know that our thoughts and prayers are with you, and we look forward to helping you rebuild as you get through this devastation. With that in mind, until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.